And today we are on chapter 3. I pray that you have been blessed. For God's word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword to cut away all evil, all putrefying sores that may be there, and take away all that is displeasing to God. Are you reading God's word? Now, this morning's theme of the sermon is addressed to you. Everyone who is a Christian receives this theme as instruction from the Lord Himself. What does He say? Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That is the theme. Pause and think. As I said, it is addressed to Christians. You cannot tell the non-Christian about this. To him, it makes no sense. But to you, who have come and received the salvation grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive this message. It is given in love from the Lord Himself. And it says, do you do all in the name of the Lord Jesus? What do we mean by this? What is there in a name? Do you know the meaning of your name? Amazing. Some people have no idea what the name means. Do you know who gave your name? The name Jesus. What does it mean to you? What does a name mean in any case? Let me just digress a little. Let's go a little into history of names. I set you a little question and you have to think. So sitting there isn't just passive. You got to think. What name in history evokes wonderment of someone who was so amazingly powerful, he conquered the whole of Europe? Not Hitler, but someone else. All right, don't think of Hitler. Can you think of someone 200 years ago whose name spelt amazing military power? Now, whose name do you think of? Napoleon, of course. You still remember your history. Now, what do we know about that name? He was the most dazzling military leader in all of history. Of course, you can challenge that with some other name, but let's assume that that is correct. Napoleon, Emperor of France. Wherever he went, it was conquering and to conquer. All his armies followed him. Who? Napoleon. His name was like magic. It had power. All his followers went into every battle assured of victory. Why? Because Napoleon was there with them. You know, he conquered everything he could conquer in Europe in 10 years. Made himself the emperor. People adored him. His troops worshipped him. Amazing man. But he conquered with the sword. And his reign lasted 10 years. Until what? Who conquered him? Who knows history? Duke of Wellington. Where? Waterloo. Okay. Now that's a bit of history, so that whenever you say, hey, he met his Waterloo, you know what it means. That is the place of defeat. For once, the great conqueror was conquered. Napoleon met his final defeat, and the British put him on an island called St. Helena. Until he died in 5 years. That's the end. My dear friends, earthly glory and power means nothing. Napoleon, Hitler, anyone else, all of them come to naught. Now today we focus our hearts and minds on the one name which is above every name. One name in history who is not like all the other names in history, like Napoleon. Napoleon was the greatest name in history, but Jesus is the Lord of history. Whereas all the others were put into history, our Lord Jesus was King of history. He began history. He lived in history as a man. And he's coming to end history as God. Do you know him? Oh, my dear friends, every day rejoice. Do you? Please let us live the Christian life with rejoicing. Never be anything else. Wherever you go, as the theme says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Remember, you are a child of God, named after him. True? Your father gave you your name, your natural name. But you have a supernatural name, Christian. Who gave you that name? Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father. And so we rejoice every day. The way we live must reflect our name, Christian. How did Jesus get that name? It is interesting, and we should turn to briefly see the book of Luke's Gospel. All right, can you turn with me very briefly? For it is interesting to know how that name came about. Why should a young lady in Israel name her child Jesus? How come? Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Now we should know all these. In fact, we always talk about it at Christmas time, don't we? Now, today is not Christmas, but it is timely. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 31, right? Luke 1, 31. The angel of God called Gabriel came from heaven for one purpose, a very important purpose, to visit this young lady, a virgin, espoused to be married but not married yet. Verse 31, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, shalt call his name Jesus. How come? There's nobody in the family called Jesus. We all name our children with a first name and then the surname. But there is none in that family called Jesus. Verse 32, he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Amazing message, isn't it? Now the one who received this message immediately responded. How come? I say, God works in amazing ways. Not only to give her the announcement, but to give her the understanding and implication of what this name means to her. What does it mean to Mary now? What did she say? Verse 46. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, because this day I am told I will bear a child, to call him Savior. Whose Savior? My Savior. Mary is not the mother of God. Please understand. She is not the sinless, immaculate Mary. Here, Mary responded to what the angel had told her. You are going to have a son. And what does she say? The angel has told me from God, this son is special, the Son of God. Now look at these two verses again, 46, 47. My soul doth magnify the Lord, that I'm just a poor nobody, a young, unknown virgin, but the whole difference between her and all the rest of the women was this. She is a chosen vessel of the Lord to bear the child of God to become a man in this world. She was the vehicle. Was she a sinner? Yes. How do you know? Of course. Every child of Adam is born in sin. And immediately she confesses, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Who is God my Savior? The child she's bearing, my Savior. So here we have, dear friends, how this name came about. That Mary announced to the world, recorded in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 and 7, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now He has come, and 2,000 years after we sit here, Christians belonging to this church in Pandan Gardens, with this wonderful salvation, the heritage of God. Now to us, who have received so great a salvation, comes a duty. None of us should receive that salvation grace freely and do nothing. What must we do? Colossians chapter 3 speaks to you and to me. Please turn there again. The theme again I want to repeat to you so that you will go home and you will remember and you will never forget. Today, the 29th of April, 2007, the sermon is that all that you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, what does it mean to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus? Paul says we are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is an ambassador? We send ambassadors to many countries around the world. What does an ambassador do? Answer, he is a representative of Singapore. He represents the president. He represents the country of Singapore. Wherever he goes, he is very aware of this one fact. And he reminds himself every day, I am here in whatever country, England, America, Europe, Africa, wherever you go. I am an ambassador. And the same with all of us, dear friends. Wherever you go, whatever you do, tell yourself, I am an ambassador. I represent the King of Kings. For I have been bought with His precious blood and given His wonderful name, Christian. Don't mistake yourself with the rank and file of all the so-called Christians around the world. Many have name with no fact. Nothing but a name, a shell, empty. Today, remind ourselves, let us live the Christian life as the Lord Jesus wants us to live, as He lived. Let us live. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Meaning to say, you and I who bear His name, Jesus Christ, live like it. Nothing else, nothing short of it, will please the Lord. Now, what is it? How do you live that life? Colossians is a wonderful book. read it, digest it, pray over it, sleep over it, read it again, and then practice it. Do it. Be ye doers of the word and not readers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, how shall we put into practice? Do all, whether I eat or sleep, or do any business or study, or go out traveling, tourism, all that I do, do I show forth Jesus Christ in me. This is what it means. It's not easy, but it is profitable, and it is blessed, and it gives you greatest joy when you do it. Verse 12. Put on, therefore, as elect of God. God chose you, elect of God. How wonderful. You all want to be chosen, don't you? If there's a lucky draw for a motor car, oh, I wish they draw out my name. They choose me, hey? God chose you, elect of God. Do you rejoice every day? Thanking God, please. The fact that you are a Christian, that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you came forth to confess Him publicly and say, Jesus is my Lord. It's because God chose you, elect. Verse 12. And chose you to be separate. That's what it means. Holy. Doesn't mean you got to go into a holy place and sit there like a holy man and do nothing but pretend to be a holy man. No, dear friends. Live as you ought to live every day. Do the things you ought to do, but with a difference. Separate from the world. Don't go the way of the world. Don't, because other people do, I do. This is the first weakness of every man who is in the flesh. And all of us are in the flesh. All of us are weak. And all of us can fall, but need not fall. Why? Because God not only saves you, He also gives the Holy Spirit to be with you. And that facility, that wonderful power is available for you anytime, everywhere. But we must call on Him. Pray to Him. Whenever temptation comes, you say, Lord, remind me, I am chosen by you to live a separate life. Where does it say so? Verse 12. Holy. Holy doesn't mean that you must come to church and then inside here you're holy. You may be in your workplace, in your class, wherever you go, tourism. You are still a Christian. You don't change because you're in Thailand or in Hong Kong or Japan and you change character. No, let's not pretend. And let's not play act. Christianity is not play acting. It is reality. God chose you to be different, holy, separate, not like the world, and beloved in the Lord. Know always, God loves me. If He loves me, how do I reciprocate that love? Are you an ungrateful person who doesn't appreciate the love of God for you? Who sent Jesus to be your Savior? That's the meaning of the name Jesus, Savior. Do you know Him? How do you come to Him? He chose you, brought you to Him, and then He purchased you with His own blood. That's the price you cost to become a child of God. At a great price, I become a child of God because the Son of God loved me and gave Himself for me. Where? On that cross. On that cross. Always remember, in the cross, be my glory ever. Do you glory in that? Remind yourself, I am bought because my Savior went to the cross and paid that price to set me free. I must live differently. Put on bowels of mercies. All right. Now this is Christianity in practice.
Christianity is not practiced in the church, as some people think. Yes? Christianity is practiced everywhere, wherever you go, whether it is here in Singapore or overseas, wherever you go, practice it. Make sure that you do not play act. When you are seen, you become a different person. When you are not seen, nobody's watching, you change. No, dear friends, do all to the glory of the Lord Jesus means be a Christian wherever you are. Seen, unseen, day, night, here, there, everywhere. Holy, beloved, bowels of mercies. Do you put on bowels of mercies? Meaning to say, are you a merciful person? Meaning to say, always consider the one whom you can show some mercy to, as you would that others should do to you, do to them likewise. Are you merciful, or when it comes to someone else, you try to bully, or to take advantage, or to crush him down if possible? Kindness. Put on kindness. How do you put on kindness? You know, in the last judgment, what does the Lord Jesus say? I was in prison. You came to me. To those who showed kindness, to others, other Christians, other believers. And the Lord says, I was hungry, you fed me. Did you? Did you ever feed those who are hungry? Those who have no food to eat? Those whose families are in want because the father is not doing well in business? Do you think of them? Your neighbor, maybe your own family, maybe your relatives, maybe somebody in the church. Are you concerned? This is practical Christianity, to think of someone else. Kindness, to think, consider, someone may need this that I can spare, that I can afford. Let me do it while I can, for I shall not pass through this world again. I only pass through this world once, not twice. And while I pass through this world, if there is any good that I can do, any kindness that I can show, and the mercy that I can show, let me do it now. For I shall not pass this way again. Put on humbleness. Don't be proud. You know the Malay word is sombong. Yeah. Now I got degrees, now I got money, now I got Mercedes, now I drive like this. I don't look on you, look down on you. Yes. Do you exercise humbleness of mind, meekness? Always consider the other person better than yourself. Long-suffering, be patient. Why drive with a horn? There are so many people use their horns to drive. No need to. Drive humbly, defensively, as a very humble person. This is the hallmark of the Lord Jesus Christ, meek and mild, humble, undefiled. Can you be? Verse 13. Forbearing. Forbearing means what? Don't always pick on other people. Finding fault. Yes, there are some people who specialize in finding other people's fault, going around with a magnifying glass, seeing all their faults, except their own. Jesus says, these people, you know, they can see the tiny bit in other people's eyes, but the big beam across their eyes they never see. Don't. What does it say here? Verse 13. Forbearing, not overbearing. There's too many Christians are overbearing. Sombong, so big, so great, so lawa. Forbearing one another. Let us in the Church of Jesus Christ learn to forget and to forgive. Don't be like those who like to say, I can forgive, but I cannot forget and keep on harping on other people's faults. No point. You're not a Christian. It is what other people do also. When in Christ, always consider what the Lord says, I have forgiven you. I died for you. I forgave you. Now forgive others, because whatever others can do against you cannot be as great as your sin against God. That's for sure. And if God could forgive you, forgive me, so freely, can we not forgive others also equally? If any man have a quarrel against any other, even as Christ forgave you, so also forgive him. So one of the good things to have and maybe to pray for is, God, please give me a forgetful mind. Don't forget your schoolwork. Don't forget your daily business. But forget other people's shortcomings. This is what I mean. Don't think of them. Don't harp on them. Don't. The last thing you ever do is to record all other people's faults and magnify them. Don't do it. It doesn't make you good. The Lord Jesus forgave all of us, all our sins, whatever sins you have, known and unknown. He, on the cross, shed His blood to wash away your sins. And you're looking to Him and say, Lord, have mercy. Your sins are forgiven. Do likewise to other people. Verse 14. This is how to do all things in the name of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14 says, above all these things, put on charity. Read the 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse. That chapter, wonderful chapter. 1 Corinthians 13. Yes, go home and read it. Faith, hope, love, all important. But of the three, the apostle says, love is the best. Not that you don't need the others. We all need faith, hope, love. But never forget, we must not just have faith and hope and stop there. Comes to love, says, no, I am myself. Yes, I will dictate my life the way I want to live. I live that way. And forget about the love. Meaning to say, love as you would others love you. Be lenient and long-suffering and humble in approach to all other people. This is the most difficult thing, because in every society, in the home, in the church, in your workplace, in your school, wherever you go, the one thing that upsets everybody, upsets your life, is pride. I specialist. It's I, myself, and me comes number one. All else, nothing. Stop all this kind of unchristian activity, unchristian attitude, unchristian behavior, no good. Do all to the glory of God. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15. Then let the peace of God rule your hearts. I always tell people, in life, number one you want to have in life is health. Naturally. After health, what? Money? No. What? Peace. Peace! Where there is no peace, there's hell. If there is no peace in the home, there's hell. No peace at the workplace, you better resign and get elsewhere. It's hell. What we need is peace. And verse 15 reminds you, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. How can you have the peace of God? Make right with God every day. Make right with your fellow men every day. Make right with those who hate you every day. Can it be done? If you are a Christian, it is possible. Difficult, but possible. So that when you have peace, you can live, you can do your work, you can think, you can plan, you can project, you can carry on your business. Without peace, it is a living hell. So, verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, because you have forgiven others, even as God has forgiven you. If you have unconfessed sin, confess them now, every day. Search your own heart. Where have you offended God's law? For the one who carries a burden of sin because he's breaking God's law and going against the commandments, you don't expect peace. Peace only when God gives you peace, you have peace. So, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, because you are walking with the Savior every day. Are you? Walking with the Savior means, Lord, is this the way you want me to do? I will do it. You know the commandments? Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not steal. Oh, stop all those activities. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Oh yes, examine your own selves by the Holy Spirit's prompting, guiding you, showing you in the Word of God, in your own conscience, in your heart. You know what is adultery. You know it. You try it. Every temptation is very alluring, assured, attractive. The end, bitter. Bitter. Don't try it. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called. We are called to peace in one body, and be ye thankful. Now we come to the end. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom. We can always only remind you to read and to memorize the word of God. But as they say, you take a horse to the water, whether the horse will drink or not, that depends. So I say, it depends on you. Are you reading? Are you praying through the Word of God? Are you memorizing? Now we got a series of verses for you to memorize. I must say, it is a common sickness, and that is laziness. When it comes to God's Word, we all get sleepy. Memorizing, worse. Yes. No, the brain is too old, too rusty, cannot. But I say, dear friends, by prayer you can. By prayer. Give yourself a chance. Memorize the Word of God. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, because God's Word is the beginning of wisdom. You want wisdom? Know God's Word. Obey God's Word. And then you can do all things in the name of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's something in the pipeline. We are planning, and we shall implement this shortly in time, so that all our members in Calvary Pandan will be a singing Christian and not a sinning Christian. Yeah. By singing the words of Scripture, the holy law of God, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, it will purify your heart, purify your life, and then you can say, I will do all things in the name of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the meaning of it. How to do all things in the name of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, by knowing His Word, by obeying His holy commandment, by walking with Him, by glorifying Him, by singing the Word of God into your lives. Forget about the top 10 hits of the month or whatever they have. I don't know them. I say we are going to give you much better than top 10 hits here shortly. The Word of God sung into your hearts and lives is going to purify you, give you peace, and change your whole outlook. As Christians, it is a happy life. It is a joyous life. It is a wonderful life. Only thing is, don't let the sins of the world mar, spoil, and defile your Christian life at all. Otherwise, how can you do all things in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now the verse 17. You like to read with me? Verse 17 is our concluding verse. Alright. Everybody read that. It's good. Together, number 17 verse. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, may Thy Holy Spirit, Comforter, bring to remembrance the words we have learned today, how that we all ought to live our lives to the glory of God, and to do all in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May His name be magnified in the lives of all who love Thee in this congregation. Bless us. We ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.